going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Merry Draft Fest Eve, folks. Getting ready for things to kick off tomorrow night. All the talk and speculation, the mock drafts, everything gets thrown out the door and we start breaking down the actual picks that start happening. Cannot wait for the Tennessee Titans will be on the clock. We kind of know where they're going. But when we, you know, moving on down further and you look at what could be on the board when the Saints select, there's so many question marks because of we've talked about this being, you know, conjecture and, you know, a bunch of lies going out right now. It's smokescreen season for a lot of teams and things, people pushing out information. It just seems a short time ago, Charlie, that Shedeur Sanders was the favorite to come to New Orleans. And now it's like, oh, the Saints would definitely pass on him.
Yeah, it sounds like the bookies have learned that Kellen Moore is not a Shedeur Sanders guy. And that may be a little bit too harsh, but that maybe Kellen prefers other quarterbacks in this class and not having to use the 9th overall pick on a quarterback in a weak QB class. So, yeah, no, now it's kind of up in the air. And the reason it's up in the air, as you mentioned, the first pick is kind of locked in with Tennessee taking, obviously, Cam Ward, the quarterback from Miami. At number two, it's almost basically locked now.
Almost, Hunter, right.
Colorado unicorn, as we like to call him. He's a receiver and a cornerback, and he wants to
play both, right?
He wants to, which is incredible. At number two to the Cleveland Browns, which you upgrade your offense and defense in one fell swoop. And then with the number three overall pick, it seems like more reports, like, listen, as much as I would love Shedeur to go at number three and have Mr. Mara say, you're taking a quarterback here, to the two guys that are on the hottest of seats with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, their head coach and GM respectively, I just don't see it happening. It's going to be Abdul Carter at three in all likelihood.
I feel the same way. So, yeah, one, two, three, feel pretty solid and that's locked in.
And four, you also feel pretty good that it's going to be Will Campbell, right?
I don't know with the Patriots. I could see them moving down.
The Patriots, yes. That is the first spot where you can see, okay, yeah, this team could potentially trade down. But, I mean, if a team really wants to move up for Will Campbell, I don't really know, like, maybe a team wants to move
maybe
up
they
want
to move for Genty. We've been hearing about, right?
Right, because a lot of this, as you mentioned, the smokescreen, the buzz is that all of a sudden the Jaguars love Genty and they could potentially take him at five. Jacksonville is the spot where a lot of this draft starts, right? Because as we kind of mentioned, if it stays put, if there's no trades up into the top five, right, the top four picks seem pretty locked in.
Correct.
Like with the Patriots taking Will Campbell with the fourth overall pick, as much as I would love for Will Campbell to be there at nine for the Saints, I just don't see it happening unless someone trades up and then he potentially slides a little bit. At five, that's where things really kind of get out of hand because you're talking about all these different prospects that could fit them, whether that be Ashton Genty, potentially Tyler Warren as high as pick five.
Yeah, I mean, come on, look at Jacksonville needs everything.
Jacksonville, yes. I mean, so does the Saints.
Right, right.
Like, the teams up here are just going to be taking the best player on their board, and that's what they should be doing, by the way. So Jacksonville could go Genty, they could go Warren, they could go Jalen Walker. You know, it sounds like they're not going to go Mason Graham anymore, which I still don't really understand it.
Him and Tet McMillan for me are a lot the two top 10 guys I thought have really fallen down some.
Yeah, Tet's a little bit different, I think, than you know, Mason Graham, and the fact that he has a floor, I think. And it, like, if he's there at pick 12, the Cowboys should likely, and would right. take him, right? With Mason Graham, I don't know what happens to him if he falls past Jacksonville, because as I was mentioning with Mike, that he could go 6 to the Raiders, and then the Raiders just have this ridiculous defensive line. He could go 7 to the Jets, and they finally get an interior presence next to Quinnen Williams.
New head coach is a defensive mind.
Maybe so. Aaron Glenn gets a defensive player with the first round pick. 8 to Carolina. It's a similar situation with the Jets at pick 7 and Carolina at pick 8, where they both have the premium defensive tackle, right? With the Jets, you have Quinnen Williams. With the Panthers, you have Derek Brown. But who else do you have on the interior? You don't really have much. So he could fit either one of those teams. And then the Saints at pick 9. Listen, if he's there, I think that they should take him.
When I went through our triple option, you know, betting odds, Mason Graham, the 5th best betting odds right now to be the number 9 pick for the Saints.
But that's basically my point, is that if, and he's number 5, funny enough, on Mike's big board, if he doesn't go to Jacksonville, right? And the reason that we don't know what's going to happen with Jacksonville, they have a new GM, and he's a young GM, and we have no idea, like, his draft philosophy, what he wants to prioritize this year. If it was Trent Baalke, it'd be a lot easier, because you just say, oh, they're just going to take, you know, the freakish athlete wherever on the field, right? And just run with it. And maybe they overdraft a guy, because that's what Baalke did all the time. He didn't listen to consensus. He played by his own rule, but he's not there anymore. He got fired because of it. But this new guy, he's kind of the wild card. And so we don't exactly know what's going to happen at 5. And that could kind of shape up how the rest of the top 10 kind of evolves past that, right? Because if they go Ashton Jeanty, all of a sudden, what do the Raiders do? The Raiders, we've been talking about for weeks that they would be a perfect landing spot for Ashton Jeanty, right? And address their running back situation. Pete Carroll gets his superstar running back. They already got Geno, so they don't necessarily need quarterback because they have Geno locked down for the next few years. So the Jacksonville Jaguars are the team to watch for me this year. And because of that, all the buzz coming out about Ashton Jeanty going at pick 5, watch and see if any of these teams really tries to make the home run swing to move up into the top 4, whether that be with, you know, New York at pick 3 or New England at pick 4, and take Jeanty before Jacksonville can get to him.
Yeah, you've been hearing some buzz on a few teams, Colts, Bears, trying to think who else was out there. It's like rumored to trying to be on the move up, which has been a difference from, you know, a lot of teams. Right now you've been hearing and have trying to make their way down to accumulate this picks
yeah.
in this draft where you feel there's so much depth available.
Correct. With the Bears, it makes sense. They're kind of in a similar spot with the Raiders where, you know, they have a big hole at running back, and getting, you know, a stud running back early in the first round makes all the sense in the world.
With Would the help Colts, Caleb a lot.
The Colts are a little bit more interesting because they're like everyone has pinned them for Colson Loveland, and that's if he's there. And so that might be the reason they're trying to potentially move up. Steve, is like what Mike was just talking about. It hasn't happened in basically 50 years that two tight ends go in the top 10, but these two tight ends are really damn good with Tyler Warren and Colson Loveland.
That's the thing I've definitely heard with the Colts. If they happen to miss out on Warren, they're definitely in place to get to draft a guy like Loveland in the first round, right?
If he's there.
I think he would be there for the Colts.
At pick 14, maybe. I mean, that's kind of the question mark. If Chicago is not able to move up, right, and get Ashton Jeanty, yeah, maybe they could go offensive or defensive lines, but if you're sitting at pick 10, I mean, Colson Loveland's at least intriguing to you, right? That's what it would be for me, at least. So on Mike's big board, he's got Tyler Warren ranked as the number 9 player.
Okay.
He's got Loveland as the number 10 player. It's not out of the question that maybe the Bears could take Colson Loveland if he's there. And by the way, me saying all this, Tyler Warren's a lock to go in the top 10. I think if he's there for the Saints at 9, it would be a run the pickup type of pick.
I'm with you for him.
He could potentially go to the Jets at 7. And if he's somehow there at 10, if he sneaks past the Saints, if the Saints somehow get like Jalen Walker or Mason Graham instead, I think the Bears would take him. So at that point, we'll see how it all kind of shapes up with the tight end room. It's a good tight end class. It's a good defensive line class. It's a good running back class. The Saints need all 3, so make sure you get at least one of each, please.
Mickey Loomis made a bunch of headlines today for what he wasn't talking about at the Saints availability today as we get ready for the draft. It was, you know, not talking about Derek Carr right now. Didn't want to address the issue. This is the day before the draft, so wanted to strictly stick with draft talk. Well, we'll stick with that, too, for Mickey. And here's some of the bites he had to talk about this team getting ready for tomorrow night. Mickey Loomis was asked, when he got, you know, shot down all those Derek Carr, you know, inquiries, What is this Saints philosophy going into this year's draft?
You've got two or three players that are all graded roughly the same, and then you go to, okay, which of these positions fits us, you know, at that time in terms of your roster need. More often than not, every once in a while, there's just a guy out there that's so far graded above everyone else. We just got to take this guy. That's happened to us. It happened to us when Deuce McAllister was drafted. We had Ricky Williams. We had a really good running back, and yet his grade was just so much greater than anyone else's on the board. We took him, best available player. That happened with Will Smith, as I recall, when we took Will Smith. So more often, though, you've got two or three guys in a cloud. They're all graded roughly the same. You know, you have the same opinion about them, and then you're just sorting out by position at that point.
Would love to have just Mickey Luma show us that cloud. I know we can't share that because that would obviously be detrimental to the team.
Yeah, and they keep it kind of tight-lipped for the most part. Like, you're never going to learn. But we can, you know, hypothesize with our boards. They're not the same as the Saints' boards. But what we see from the prospects, what the Saints should probably be seeing from these prospects, and just have a general idea of who they should end up taking.
See, I'm hoping that Genty does go before the Saints because I don't want that option for them on the board. Not because I'm afraid they're going to pick him because of, you know, it's still a position of need at running back. You know, the connection with the new head coach, they've been to the same school. I just feel like there's so many more other needs on this team that could be addressed at that spot besides running back.
And I agree with you, Steve, that I would address running back probably on one of your picks in the third round, maybe even one of your picks in the fourth round.
It's deep.
It's a super deep class, and there's going to be a ton of them that go on day two because of it. However, Kellen Moore, if he loves Ashton Genty and he wants him, and he wants him badly, maybe you should listen to your young coach. I don't know.
I guess if he's on, you know, top of the desk, pounding the table, whatever you want to say, saying, I need to have this guy.
I want my Boise State Bronco.
Right, then you go with what Coach says. We're going to talk more about the Saints and what Mickey Loomis had to say today at his availability. Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak will join us after the break. Also after the break, when we get back, I'm going to give you the Jazz Fest code word of the day so you can enjoy second week of Jazz Fest tickets coming right at you. Hopefully the weather is great. The axe will be. Anyway, we'll be back with more sports talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Alrighty, folks, who's ready to party? Now's your chance to win a pair of tickets to the second weekend of Jazz Fest. Today's password is souvenir. Oh, that's a tough one today. Souvenir, that's the password. S-O-U-V-E-N-I-R. I would definitely never spell that right. Just go to WWL.com/contest and register to win. It is that easy. Don't miss your chance. All you got to do is listen 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and 6 for the Jazz Fest code word of the day to see amazing artists like Pearl Jam, Luke Combs, Lenny Kravitz, Santana, Patti LaBelle, Trombone Shorty, and more. Good luck and happy festing, folks, from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. Well, as we get ready for our festing for the draft, we're going to talk to Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. Now was at today's press conference where Mickey Loomis addressed the media about all things NFL draft and nothing about Derek Carr. How's it going, Jeff?
I'm doing good, Steve. So are you saying you were not a spelling bee kid? Is that what you're telling me?
I feel like, yeah, I think souvenir would definitely give me an issue.
Okay, that's fair. I think I would get past that round, but, you know, to each their own.
Not getting past Mickey Loomis. Any questions about Derek Carr? I'm going to get back onto that just because I know, I think a lot of the media, I don't know, frustrated by it. The fans are definitely disappointed. The fact that we thought we might get a little bit of information today out of Mickey, but definitely still keeping things very close to the vest and not wanting to reveal much, just saying, yeah, they are aware of an issue with the shoulder, but just really wanted to focus on the draft right now, and he'll address the Derek Carr stuff later on.
Yeah, you know, it's a strategy, right? It's a choice, clearly, that they're making. You know, I'm sure part of it is they don't have all the information. Part of it is they don't want to disclose a lot of information. And, you know, I think the goal at the end of the day was to keep this story as tamped down as possible, right? Like, I think they just didn't want a lot of headlines to come out saying, oh, Mickey Loomis said this, Mickey Loomis said that. Okay, let's analyze this, let's analyze that.
But we're still doing that.
Well, yes, we are locally, but I think from a national perspective, their goal was to have as few people talking about it as possible. And when you come out and don't say anything, the story's going to be the Saints aren't saying anything, and that's just not going to have legs, right? You're not going to see that as the main item on the Chiron of SportsCenter, right? You're not going to see that, you know, you're not going to see tweets. Oh my gosh, the Saints said nothing, right? So I think that was the goal. Now, I think they, you know, succeeded in that. Like, I don't think a lot of people are going to be standing on their head trying to figure out what's going on. But what it creates is a scenario where you have a void of information, and you had the opportunity to come out and maybe dispel, debunk some theories, some ideas that have been floating around, right? Maybe support your quarterback. You didn't do that, right? You've continued to allow this circle of non-information to exist, which means nothing is true and everything is true at the same time. It's a Schrodinger's cat situation, right? Until you look in the box and figure out whether that cat is alive or dead, it is both. And sorry for going into that whole, I don't know why I decided to get into philosophy here, but, you know, it's just a weird situation. And You know, I think where you are with the Saints and you look at it and say, I don't know exactly what's going on, but I can say for certain it is not a clean situation. It is a sticky situation, because if the answers were simple, we would have gotten them today. If the answer was, we are committed to Derek Carr, we're looking forward to working with Derek Carr, he's our starting quarterback, that's what we would have heard, just like we heard at the Combine, just like we heard in other opportunities for the Saints brass to come out and show support for their quarterback. They didn't do that today. So all that is to say, whether they want to say it now or not, this is not a comfortable situation for anyone, for Derek Carr, for the team. And we're just going to have to wait and see how it plays out.
You know, I thought maybe at first the Saints might have been just mad at him because he was reviewing Rolls Royces and not Mercedes.
Yeah, I don't think it's a branding issue, because, hey, it's not the Mercedes-Benz Superdome anymore. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe they're trying to get some new naming rights for another luxury car manufacturer. I just think that this team is trying to navigate forward as best as possible. You know, and like I couldn't even get Mickey to say, hey, what shoulder is it? Nope, not getting that information. It was very much a kind of strategic shut down everything, and we'll come back to it at a later time. They don't want to go into a draft tomorrow with all of this information circling saying they're definitely going to draft a quarterback. I think they are going to draft a quarterback, but they want to do it on their terms. I think that trading up at the back end of the first round or maybe the top of the second round is a realistic possibility. And I think they just want to be in a scenario where they're not getting fleeced because teams see them as desperate.
Something that Mickey did confirm today, at least, we'll get into some of the actual news from the press conference and the fact that something we talked about at the Inside Black and Gold podcast, I know we're talking about fifth-year options for wide receiver Chris Olave and then offensive lineman Trevor Penning. Definitely fully expected the outcome here where they will pick up that option for Olave, but not so much with Penning.
Yeah, no, it was actually kind of funny because when I asked that question, I kind of expected no answer. And I could almost see it in Mickey's face of like, I wouldn't answer this normally, but since I have jammed you all up so much with the Derek Carr mission, I'm just going to throw you a bone here. And so they just kind of gave it to us. Like, yeah, they are exercising the option on Chris Olave. He will be here for another year. It'll be about a $15 million annual contract. They are not exercising the option on Trevor Penning. So this is effectively a contract year for him. That's what always made the most sense. For Chris, it makes sense because you have these injury questions, you have the concussion situation, and, you know, I think if it wasn't for the health, we'd be talking about, okay, how much are we going to have to pay this guy? In this case, you want to see him get through a season healthy before you commit to him long-term, but I still think this team wants to commit to him long-term. He's just going to have to prove he can stay healthy. On Trevor Penning's side, you know, I don't think this is a sign that you're not going to commit to him beyond this season. I think it's just it's not that dissimilar to where you were with Cesar Ruiz a couple seasons back, where they declined his option. They fully intended to keep him around. They extended him on a four-year, $44 million contract, but it still was a much more palatable number than what the fifth-year option would have been. So I think that's where you are with Trevor, and that's basically what Mickey said. It doesn't mean he's not going to stick around. It doesn't mean that he's not part of the future plans. But, you know, I do think it puts some pressure on Trevor to show up at camp and have a strong showing and kind of prove to this new offensive staff that he's worth keeping around. And I think if he can do that, you can find a path forward with a much more reasonable number than that fifth-year option would have been, and maybe a multi-year contract extension that allows you to continue to develop that guy. And if he keeps taking steps forward, then it's a great deal. If he doesn't, then you can move on. I don't think it's going to change anything for you in this draft. You can still land a tackle. You could still not land a tackle and feel like you have starters at left and right tackle. It's what was expected, but it's still kind of, okay, do you have starters? Do you have an offensive line that you feel like can get the job done? Or do you have to keep adding to it in the draft?
Jeff, that's exactly what I was about to bring up, is that I've seen it on social media and a lot of the reaction to the Trevor Penning situation with him not getting that fifth-year option exercised was that, oh, the Saints are locked into taking an offensive tackle at 9. I don't think that's the case at all. Now, if an offensive tackle that's really, really high on their board slides to them at pick 9, sure. But that's not, they're not taking an offensive tackle just because they're not picking up Trevor Penning's fifth-year option. I know that Mike brought it up earlier on the show, but it's the same situation that happened with Cesar Ruiz, and they didn't pick up his fifth-year option. They still viewed him as a future piece for their offensive line, and they extended him. So we'll see what happens with Trevor Penning, but kind of like you were just mentioning, it's not, you know, the Saints aren't locked into taking an offensive tackle with the 9th overall selection.
Yeah, and I mean, if they wanted to sign him to a one-year deal, you could probably sign him to a one-year contract for a lot less than $16 million. It just never made sense. So it's kind of just finalized now. They don't have to technically make that decision until May 2nd, which is after the draft, which is kind of why I asked the question, like, is that going to be contingent on, oh, maybe if you bring in a tackle, maybe you don't pick it up versus, yes, you do pick it up and you don't bring in a tackle. That's not the case. Clearly, they've already made that decision. So, I mean, I wouldn't be stunned to see them bring in a tackle, but it's going to be more about the prospect and the grade you have on them than saying, ah, oh, we definitely need a tackle. And, you know, that's something that, you know, I've heard Mickey talk about is, you know, if you look at last year's class, whether they wanted to admit it out front or not, they needed a tackle. They needed to go get a left tackle or a right tackle or somebody, and they went and got Talia Sifuaga. That's not really the case this year. I don't think you can look at any position for the Saints and say, oh, they got to go get that, maybe like it was last year. So, that's what makes this draft so fascinating is you could plausibly look at 5 or 6 different players and say, yeah, they should draft this guy. They should draft this guy, you know, what, and at 5 or 6 different positions. And I think you could have a reasonable argument for all of them.
Looking at WWL.com, Jeff, I see your article here ranking the positions of need for the Saints going into the 2025 draft. Going through it, looking over the list, and number 3, you know, looking at guard/center, kind of a two-way question here at you, that the fact that, do you think that window or that opportunity might still be open for Penning to possibly move over and play the guard slot? And do you think that this team, right now they don't have that start on the roster, could they end up addressing that, I won't say guard in the first round, but possibly 2nd or 3rd?
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think you're going to move Trevor. I don't. I think it's his fine. It's now a contract year for him.
Right.
And I just don't see how that would help his development in any way to move him inside. I think he's either your starting right tackle or he's your backup right tackle, right? As far as drafting a guard, yeah, I think they should be looking in the second. That 40 might be a little too rich for a guard, considering some of the names on the table, but 71 feels like kind of prime interior line territory, where if you have a high grade on a guy, you can go get him. Dylan Radins is still there. He's an option. Nick Saldivari is a guy you traded up for, took in the first pick of the 4th round a couple of years ago. He's struggled to stay healthy, but he's going to be part of that equation. I just think in terms of when I listed it as the number 3 need, it's more so, it's one of the few positions on this roster that I can't look and say, I know who the starter is going to be. And you can look up and down the roster, and, you know, that's kind of my top 3 positions of need. Those are the 3 that I just do not know who's going to play those spots. And that's guard, it's quarterback, and that's kind of, you know, the kind of the weak side outside linebacker who you just don't have. And that's something Mickey talked about today was, you know, you're changing schemes on defense. I think there are pieces you don't have in that group in terms of what are you going to ask people to do and what can they do. And outside linebacker, edge rusher is one of them. And on offense, guard is one of them. And on offense, quarterback is one of them. I just don't know who's going to play that position.
Jeff, looking at that pick number 9 tomorrow night, do you have any favorites for the Saints to land in that spot? Maybe your top 2 or 3 guys that you think could be in a real position to land with the Saints at number 9 overall?
Yeah, you know, I'd love to see a fun player drafted, right? Like it's always, you know, you kind of have this imagination of like, oh man, Tyler Roan would be so fun to watch. Addison Genty would be so fun to watch.
You're saying offensive linemen aren't fun?
Yeah, well, that's where I'm going. You read my mind. It's like, at the end of the day, this is a team that knows it needs to build through the lines. And I think you're going to end up with a defensive lineman at number 9. If you don't trade back, which I think should be on the table, You know, I just think like a Mike Green is intriguing. I feel like we haven't talked a lot about him, but you know, I just think you're going to try to find someone who can really fast forward this transition into Brandon Staley's scheme by bringing in someone who fits that scheme to a T. And that's going to be my goal if I'm picking somebody. And as difficult as it will be to bypass some of those more exciting names, it just feels right to me. Is you know, you're changing defenses for the first time in how long? I think you need to invest some resources there. But at the end of the day, if you end up with a Tyler Warren, no one's going to complain about it. If you end up with a Tet McMillan, no one's going to complain about it. If you end up with a Shedeur Sanders, I think people will get excited for it. So, you know, I think they're going to have to balance that.
Jeff, thank you for the time, man. I know you got the Celtics taking on the Orlando Magic tonight. I appreciate you stepping away from that.
Oh, for sure. Thanks, guys.
Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter and WWL's digital content producer, joining us there, breaking down all things from Mickey Loomis's press conference and getting ready for draft night tomorrow right here on WWL. We'll be back more of sports talk after this, so stay tuned on your home of the Saints, WWL.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table. And Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Now is your chance to win a pair of tickets to the second weekend of Jazz Fest. Today's code word of the day is souvenir. That's souvenir, S-O-U-V-E-N-I-R. Don't miss your chance. Just go to WWL.com/contest and register to win. It is that easy. We have 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and 6 p.m. for your Jazz Fest code word of the day daily to see amazing artists like Pearl Jam, Luke Combs, Lenny Kravitz, Patti LaBelle, Trombone Shorty, and so much more out there. Good luck and happy festing, folks, from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. Going into our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, as we can talk about the NFL draft, you can sound off as well. Troy wants to talk about some of the prospects that he likes. Troy, what you like out there for the Saints?
I like all the prospects y'all were talking about in the top 10. On my behalf, I wish y'all would have maybe traded Chris Olave with that fourth pick, but without giving up that ninth pick. if there was a way of doing that. But my prospect would actually be Mason Graham with that fourth. If not that, trade Chris Olave somewhere further down and get the Kenneth Grant guy from Michigan. Now, with that being said, you can actually use those two guys, him and Davin Godshaw, as your line, and move Brian Brzee over to the end.
Right.
That would help in the pass rush. Now, also, I haven't heard a lot of these two guys, but I would like them, this Ariante Ursary and Jonas Savianilla. Now, my thing would be with that ninth pick, move down with the Colts and try to get a second-round pick. But with that 14th pick, maybe move down again with the Rams at 26. Now, with that, you get Ariante Ursary with the 26th pick. Also, try to get the Rams to give up a first-round pick for next year and also give us Steve Avila from 2 years ago that we should have grabbed in the draft. See, now you have your guards, your center, your tackle.
And you got
your whole line would be set.
Okay. Now, listen, you don't have to convince me, Troy, of moving down. And I like a lot of the names that you're bringing up here. As far as, you know, the fourth overall pick, I think if the Patriots want to trade out of that pick, I'm calling. But I'm just intrigued by what the price tag would be to move up to four. Because I'm a huge Will Campbell fan. Listen, like, if he's there at nine, I'm running it up and I'm taking Will Campbell, and you got your left tackle and your right tackle with Fuaga for the next decade. And I would love that. As far as Mason Graham goes as well, big fan. You know, he's one of those guys that I thought was locked in at five, Troy. Right. I thought he was going to be going to Jacksonville with the fifth overall pick just based off of best player available. But on recent reports, it seems like he's sliding down boards a little bit. Kenneth Grant, once again, no convincing you have to do with him for me right now, because Kenneth Grant would be the ideal nose tackle. I know you went out and got Devon Godshaw, but if you want kind of the future of that position, right, you would pursue someone like Kenneth Grant. To your point, though, he's not going to be a in the conversation at pick nine. He would be probably closer to late teens, early 20s. I've said it for a while now, Steve. I think if he's there in the early 20s, like around pick 22-ish, I think that's what the pick that the Chargers have, because Green Bay has 23. If he's there when the Chargers pick, you can imagine, just like we were joking about with Kellen Moore banging the table for Ashton Jeanty, Jim Harbaugh is going to be banging the table for Kenneth Grant. And I think that he would be a good fit with the Chargers. So as far as trading down, though, Troy, this is my only issue. I like the idea. I really do.
But do you believe it's going to happen?
Depending on what prospects get picked before the Saints at nine, right? Like, if Mason Graham's off the board, if Jalen Walker's off the board, if Tyler Warren's off the board, if Will Campbell's off the board, all these top guys that I'm like really intrigued by with the ninth overall pick, yes, you would like to trade down. The only issue is that Mickey Loomis does not do it. He doesn't do it, and it frustrates the hell out of me sometimes. It's just like, if
like you went through the numbers, it's not even close. I mean,
27-0 since 2007. 27 trade ups that Mickey Loomis has done. He hasn't traded down once since the iPhone got invented. And so that's the one kind of question there. It's just like, yes, if all those players are off the board, it would make sense to trade down. It's just not in Mickey Loomis's MO.
I guess if Troy's running the team, that's what he would do, he's saying. So.
And listen, he was saying a lot of good things there. I'm fine with trading down. With some of those prospects, too, offensive line is a really interesting one, because it feels like we've pinned in the Saints that if they're going to take offensive line, they'll do it in round one, and they won't do it in round two because they're going to be looking at quarterback in round two. Or trading up with that second round pick to move into the back end of the first round and take a quarterback. But guys like, you know, Ariante Ursary, Jonas Savanaia, like he mentioned, they're both really big dudes. Ursary's a tackle. Savanaia is going to be a guard. I like both of them a lot. You know, Tate Ratledge in the third round from Georgia is someone that a lot of mocks keep saying, oh, you know, don't worry about taking Tyler Booker in round one. We could get Tate Ratledge later on, the Georgia offensive guard prospect. There's a couple different interior guys that are really intriguing. The issue with this year's class is that it feels like there's a drop off from the top tackles, right? Once you get past, you know, maybe five or six in this year's tackle class, it drops off a little bit. And I would maybe put Ursary up there. So let's say six, right? Where you have Will Campbell, you have Kelvin Banks, you have Armon Membu, Josh Simmons, Josh Connerly, and we'll throw in Ursary, right? Past that, there's a little bit of a dip. So that's what I'm kind of curious to see what happens in round one this year. is if there's a run on those guys, because it's the inverse of like the running back class where you can kind of push them down a little bit. There's going to be a ton of them that are taken on day two because it's such a good class. This year's offensive tackle class isn't as good, right? It's more top heavy. So once you get past the top five or six guys, like I was mentioning, it becomes a little bit harder to find NFL quality, starter quality offensive tackles on day two into day three.
And as for the fact he mentioned, too, also, Charlie, of trading Chris Olave, I don't think that's happening. We just, you know, picked up his fifth-year option on his rookie deal. I know that doesn't mean much, but I feel like this organization likes Olave and still wants to see if he can develop despite those head injuries.
Yeah, and the Patriots, to his point, made a really ton of sense for someone like Chris Olave, in my opinion. They went out and paid Stephon Diggs this offseason, but, like, I mean, is he really your future? No, not by any stretch of the imagination. He's just been brought in to hopefully help the development of Drake May.
Maybe the Saints do trade up. Pats end up moving down to the ninth spot. They get Tet McMillan.
Yeah, that could happen too. The Patriots are in a spot, kind of like we were mentioning in the first segment this hour, where they could try to trade down from pick four and still get a stud prospect in the top 10.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. Going to wrap up the 6 o'clock hour right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news when we get back. A little break from some draft talk and get into LSU baseball. A stunner last night for the loss for the Tigers in a midweek game to a non-conference opponent. What? Will they be ready for Tennessee? Back with more of that right after this. Stay tuned on WWL.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.